wave that over here.
The Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. An hour of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up, and take it away. Take it away.
You know what? Only Dan would fart on his microphone and then bitch that it smells bad.
Who farted?
You would think if he was going to do that, he would at least have like a second microphone, right? One that he could just like leave down there or something. No, we have these big, we have these big clown noses on our microphones to cut down on the pops and stuff like that. And so Dan, you know, rips one right into that big piece of freaking foam there.
Nice.
And, of course, now it's going to linger right in front of his nose all night long. But the worst part is that he's waving it in front of me going, no, it smells really bad. Look, no, I don't want to see.
What's even worse, it's coming from my end.
I don't want to know that. Hey, all I got to say is this morning, like, I had gas really bad, and it smelled like some kind of dead maggots or something like that. So if it comes back tonight, it will be a poetic justice for you.
Chemical warfare.
Well, I'll just, we'll all be having some real problems, I think. Probably a good thing Alan wasn't here.
My eyes are tearing. How's everybody tonight?
It's the fuck, man.
Yeah.
Hey, we got 3/4 of the crew here.
Yeah. I finally made it in and everything.
Dan, take B now.
I made it in. I have my tooth is all gone now. This big hole in my mouth. It almost doesn't sound like I'm talking with... Does it sound like I'm talking with gauze in my mouth? Because like every now and then it sounds to me that way, and I wonder if it's just the...
It sounds like you got something else.
No, seriously, but I wonder if it's like just the difference in this, the way the sound bounces off my teeth now when I talk, because I have, I had a molar pulled. So it's just... freaking hole inside of my mouth. It feels like it's the size of my fist. You know what I mean?
Right, fist. Yeah. You know what? We got to get this started off right here because I got a special link for Pat.
Oh, here we go.
I would tiny URL this, but for some reason when I tiny URL'd it a while ago and I went back to it, it timed out. So I'm just going to, Cody did before. I'm just pasting that in there and hopefully it won't time out. But Pat, you got to see this if you haven't seen it yet.
is it more Gillian Anderson naked pictures?
No, this I cannot believe this. This is the most outrageous thing. If you just turn around, Pat, you can see it on the screen
right
there.
On the screen there.
Look at this. And you got to be a hardcore back weedy to go ahead and buy something like this.
$100 for a freaking case.
Yeah. For those of you who cannot see this. It's losers. iPod released their, did their new release stuff yesterday, their big fucking product dorks. Announcements, and they announced, of course, what I said they would announce, which would be the Intel Mac Mini, and they also announced some kind of retarded boombox thing that you can plug your iPod into, and the third thing that they announced is the Apple leather case for your iPod, and it's $100.
What a bargain.
$100. Wait, let me say that again. $100.
For a leather case.
For less leather than is used in my wallet. Okay.
For $100, that thing better have 3 love openings and vibrate. That's all I gotta say.
No kidding, man. $100. And we knew that, Pat, of course, we had to hide it from Pat. Until we were all here to help calm him down, because he would just run right out and buy one immediately.
I can't wait.
Because it's a superior in quality Apple product.
Superior Apple product. It's made in the same freaking factory.
For only $100. How could you go wrong?
If you go to the freaking bazaar or like on Canal Street in Chinatown in New York, it sells for like $2.
What were they thinking? You got to wonder what they were thinking when they're like, well, we got this.
And look, it's leather even.
$5 worth of leather, if that, to but make four of these things. Let's sell
you
for
know what's
bucks.
Really funny is, like, I'm on this, I'm on a bunch of mailing lists. One of the mailing lists I'm on, there's a bunch of Mac heads on there. And even the Mac heads were saying, $100 for this thing? I mean, come on, you know. It must be on crack or something.
Losers.
Gorkun says the iPod condom. Yeah, no kidding.
Fine Corinthian leather.
You know, my dad does leather work, right? And he does some really good stuff. And if he tried to push this on anybody, they'd laugh his ass.
Shit, yeah.
They'd be like, no.
They're like, get
so.
The fuck out of here.
Right. I mean, come on.
So where's Alan, man? Is he going to dial in with his superior Apple product?
Dan's dad. Let me tell you a story about Dan's dad. I never met Dan's dad before. And then he finally, this last computer show, he came to the computer show and brought his dad over there, and I met his dad for the first time. You know who Dan's dad looks like?
What do you think?
Dan's dad looks almost exactly like Charles Bronson.
He'll shoot
a little bit,
too.
A little
he
bit.
He does. He looks like Charles Bronson. And Dan was like, I told that to Dan. Dad was like, nah. No one's ever said that before. I can't believe no one's ever said that before.
They're afraid
he looks like Charles. Yeah, that's what it is. They're afraid he's going to. Death Wish 6.
You really don't look like your dad at all.
I'm adopted.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that explains
Dan's
that.
Dan looks like Charles
There's
Bronson.
Your answer. $99, man.
That's incredible, man. That really is incredible.
They'll come out with a blue one, they'll charge $199.
Right, because they're the dye, yeah. You know? It's the dye.
I'm pretty bummed, man. You guys ever listen to the We Hate Tech podcast? Those guys,
no.
They threw the towel in. It was a pretty funny show, man. They're always goofing on all the different podcasts, and it was funny for a while, and then I guess they got tired of it and decided to call it a day.
I didn't listen to them, but I did start listening to Security Monkey.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a good podcast.
Yeah, it is, and I wish that I had a promo to play for you guys, but he didn't give me one yet. So
you're on 13? Are you on 13, or is it?
Is it 13? I thought it was like 7 or something like that.
I've listened all the way up to 10.
Oh, well, then.
So, the one that just came out, I think, is 13.
The one that just came out is 12.
Dude, we just got, like, all sorts of new podcasts, man.
12. Now, this one isn't really new. This is a friend of mine. I'm on another mailing list, right? Like, you've all heard, links on every mailing list in the world. I'm on this mailing list that has the most brilliant computer people on it across the world.
That's the Lug, LV Lug?
Yeah, right. That's what it is. No, I'm on this mailing list, and they actually invited me. I don't know why, but they invited me anyway. And all these really, really brilliant people, you know, people that write, you know, people that are currently writing a lot of really cool custom software for, like, the DoD and stuff like that, you know. And one guy on there, the Security Monkey, he is, that's not his real name, of course. You know, it doesn't say that on a driver's license, but for all practical purposes, he's the Security Monkey, and he is an IT security investigator, right? Information security investigator. A highly paid and very qualified one, I might add at that. Anyway, he wanted me to come on his podcast to speak about, you know, some Linux issues and stuff, and you should. I'm gonna go right over here, and I'm gonna copy this link in the IRC for you guys. If you haven't listened to it yet, you should listen to it. You should listen to all of his.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed.
Podcasts.
Actually,
really good.
Go to his blog and read all the stuff too, so you get all the inside jokes.
Right, you get a lot of
the Star Trek.
Did
you hear Star Trek? Good stuff.
That's some good shit, man.
I couldn't stop listening to it, man. It's good stuff.
No, it's funny stuff. And he wants to come on the. So make sure you go check that out. He wants to come on our show, and I fully intend on having him on here as soon as we can. Don't be throwing it over here, man.
I got a combat pack.
Wafting it over.
I had some
keys
for dinner, man.
As fast as we can, but we're like booked for. Good grief! How long we booked for?
We're into May already.
Yeah, we're booked forever. Maybe we can like pull him into. What do you think? Maybe we can get him into a show that we have. Forget, what do we have that is kind of also applies to security? Anything?
You kind of
get him in
weeks.
As a dual host sort of thing. Extra. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
We're going to get him in here. We're going to get the Scooty Monkey on here very soon. Anyway, one way or the other.
And, you know,
so you guys,
12th,
until
April
then, go,
12th.
Yeah, go listen to his stuff.
April 12th is the only day we don't have anybody on.
That's right after we get back from the thing.
I left that on purpose just in case we interview somebody and we don't get to them
we might,
the week of the expo.
We might, you know, yeah, we might have some interviews or something there that we want to slap together and stick
know?
Together. I don't know. We'll see. Something like that. But anyway, yeah, go over there and check his stuff out. If you just hit Google and you do Security Monkey, his is the first one that comes up. It's like blogs.itutoolbox.com/security/investigator.
Speaking of podcasts,
right there.
We also got Linux Reality from Chess, man. Good stuff from him. And then we also got the Lot of Linux links from Davey Yates, man. Another good podcast. We got lots of
the lot of now that that's,
lot of good stuff, man.
That's no kidding, man. Both of those are really, really good. I'm really digging the Lot of Linux links podcast.
Hey, Dave knows his stuff, man. He seems sounds pretty knowledgeable.
Yeah, he's very entertaining too. And I don't think he thinks that he is. You know what I mean? And I didn't have I know that you and Dan had written to him real early on. I never had a chance because I was so freaking busy.
You're a dick.
But yeah, I know I'm a dick. But I wrote him, like, last week, I think, and told him that I think his show's really good. And if he's listening, it really is. You know, I really, really dig listening to that show. I make it a point to listen to it as soon as I can, as soon as he releases a new one, because I really am entertained by it. And I hope he keeps doing what he's doing. One of the things he was talking about is it's so hard to do these podcasts, because, like, you get through a few shows. You know, it's easy to find content for a couple shows. After that, you get really bored with it, and you don't, you know what I mean? You don't know exactly what the hell you're going to talk about. And that's...
gas.
Yeah, right.
The gas podcast.
That's very hard if you're a single person podcasting. You know what I mean? If you're doing it all by yourself, it's very hard to come up with new topics and stuff like that.
Single-person podcast.
Yeah, well, I told him that talk about whatever the hell he has going on.
Podcastmatch.com.
Yeah. Yes, talk about whatever's, whatever crosses his mind. Doesn't necessarily have to be completely Linux-related at the moment, because topics have that sort of convergence that go on, You bitch for a little while, and it'll converge back into a Linux topic somehow, one way or another. Or... the cool way around it, and that's the way that we have gone for so long, is, just to get a couple other people to bounce your shit off of back and forth. Stop it!
There's also those Canadian
Dude,
guys,
he's
Dan.
Cutting a freaking parts there!
I didn't get that there yet.
You didn't get a chance to add those guys.
Yeah, so, what I have so far listed, there's the Tech Show, Lug Radio, or Lug Radio, depending on where you're from.
Or Lug Radio.
LQ Radio.
Man, now bad studio.
The Linux Log, Linux Australia, a lot of Linux links.
Linux Australia, which has two podcasts.
Yes.
And his wife is doing one, right?
There's the Linux Australia update and the...
The update and the one from their lug.
Yeah, right? The lug update. It just talks about the Linux lugs in Australia. Source 21, which is a Dutch video cast about free and open source software. I did say Jack Attack, yes. DistroWatch.com. Which is really good, and Linux Reality. And then, what did you say, Pat? What's that other one?
Which one?
They don't have up there yet.
Oh, the name of it?
One.
I forget the name of it. We'll put it up there soon.
And possibly coming
the one
soon,
we don't know the name
the
of.
The return of Linux Box?
Yes, the Linux Box supposedly is coming back.
And 1 year, the Linux Show will be back.
Yeah, did you see those postings on the mailing list?
Sure.
That was a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I have not... seen anything since.
No.
They said that they're still coming. Hopefully.
Because
You can't have enough. Actually, you can't have too many Linux podcasts because it's hard to listen to them all. Some weeks. Actually, you can't have enough Linux.
A lot of good things, man. Speaking of Dave Yates, he was talking about Ubuntu and using automatics, and that segues right into what I was going to talk about. I removed Arch Linux from my laptop after the fun from last week. I upgraded the UDEV to the latest, and then I had those issues upgrading XOR 0.7, and my laptop got really flaky on me. I posted on my blog about it. Stuff wasn't auto-mounting. My network cards weren't, starting up correctly. and it was becoming a real chore, so I decided to get rid of Arch off my laptop. So I decided to put Ubuntu on there for a couple of reasons. One was I haven't used GNOME in God knows how many years. I think it was the last century was the last time I actually used GNOME. So I wanted to see what it was like compared to the current KDE 3.5, which I really like a lot. So I installed, and it was a pretty easy install. And Dave was mentioning that there's this this script called Automatics that goes out and installs a whole shitload of stuff to get your system up and running with all the good stuff fast. So all the codecs, all those good audio-video apps, tons of stuff, the latest Firefox, all the plugins pre-installed. And I tried that, man. It worked like a charm, and it's working pretty well. My thoughts on GNOME is that it's nice. It's pretty responsive. Everything works the way it's supposed to. Everything auto-mounts nicely. I think I still like KDE better. That's just my preference.
So are you going to do the whole the KDE install on there?
I think what I'm going to do is when the new version comes out, I'm just going to switch over to KDE, or I might even go to XFCE just to go up to XFCE.
See, now I use XFCE on my Ubuntu.
XFCE is nice, man. Like it. It's nice.
You don't have that nice, like, auto-mounting thing with the, you know, the...
See, I like that
Nautilus
shit.
And all that shit that pops up on
I like
screen.
That stuff, though.
That's nice, and it probably would be... It would be really cool to find a way to do that in other window managers outside of GNOME, because it does, you can't even, doesn't even work right under KDE. You know what I mean? But I can't talk today.
Well, one
I usually don't have... Well, depends on what distribution I'm using, but Nopix works great.
Yeah.
One sore point, though, has been my my wireless card. None of the automatic configuration tools set it up correctly. I tried GTK Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi Radar, even the one that came installed on the system. They recognized the card. It seems that my wireless card driver boots up okay. It runs with the WLAN-NG drivers, Prism 2, USB.
Uh-huh.
But I still have to manually, you know, do some commands to get it going.
All right. Now, speaking of that, have you read this month's issue of Tux Magazine?
Yes. Real nice,
not
man.
Yet.
Okay. I saw it today for a little bit.
Saw it today. In this month's issue, they talk about people are bitching about just exactly what you just bitched about. My little piece of hardware, this or that, and most likely it's, you know, and most of the time it's their network card, their wireless network card. It doesn't work, or their printer or something like that, right? It doesn't work under Linux. And, what the hell's her... What's her name?
Who?
Chicken Tux Magazine.
Which one? Jess Hall? The one we're talking to next week?
No.
Nadine or whatever her name is?
The fake one.
Oh, Mango Parfait.
That's it. Mango Parfait. Mango Parfait gets in one of those letters. Oh, my network card or my printer or something like that doesn't work on Linux. And she says exactly what I'm going to tell you. Buy one that does. Buy one that does, and the one that doesn't, complain to the manufacturer about it. Say that I can't believe that this piece of crap you put together does not work on Linux, or that you don't haven't released a Linux driver, and I went out and bought myself a blah, which works wonderfully, and I'm going to tell all my friends to buy the blah that works wonderfully under Linux, and I'm going to tell them that, I'm going to tell them the one that you have is a piece of junk because you can't get it working.
Well, one of the most important things that I've done so far, customization, is I got rid of all the ship-browned backgrounds and colors and splash screens. I got rid of all that crap, and it looks much better now. It's much more easier on the eye. I don't know. I don't like the brown, look to it, so I changed all that up.
Patrick does not like his ship-browned desktop.
Just me. But overall, I'm pretty happy with it, man. So maybe I'll keep GNOME on here just to see what the next release looks like. And then I'll probably switch to KDE back.
Luxbox!
Or XFCE.
Luxbox! Something you wanted to add there, Dan.
One tool tool I was looking at was there's this network configuration. Is it network configuration? Network management tools. Are you guys familiar with that?
On Ubuntu?
Etc/rc.
It came from Gentoo.
Slackware. Network.
It's the RC.inet1.
This is project. I think it came from Gentoo originally.
Oh yeah, okay.
But it really controls everything, and it seems to be pretty heavy package to get it up and running, because it really takes total control of your system. So I'm a little hesitant. I might
just total control of your system. Now we're talking about Windows again.
Yeah, for network anyway. I was thinking of just coding up some simple scripts, man, just to issue the commands and be done with it. Keep it simple, you know? I mean, hey, Link, those bash scripts work for you, man.
Yeah, no shit.
You got a lot of press this last week, man.
I got a lot. This month, I got a lot of press, or within a month anyway, because I was on Marcel Gagné.
Yeah, on the
talked about yep. me on the G4 Tech TV thing.
Yes, call for help. Yep.
And let's see, did that.
John Watson mentioned you in the Linux Journal article about podcasting.
Yep, they did. John Watson mentioned me in Linux Journal, and
you did that
Linux
interview.
Magazine. I got, yeah, I got that interview. I forgot all about that. I got that one interview. A couple mentions in Linux Journal, and one in Linux Magazine. John Watson and Marcel Gagné in Linux Journal mentioned me both in the same issue, and Jeremy, our great friend and buddy Jeremy from Linux Questions. Did this wicked write-up of Bash Potter. It was like page 14, I think it is, in Linux Magazine. You got to see it. It's a good write-up. He's the dude.
Good stuff, man.
I'm going to wait until I see him at the .org pavilion. I'm going to kiss him right on his mouth, man.
There was a post in the forum about Ubuntu not being for new Linux users.
Yeah, I saw that article.
And you know what? Last night, I had to install Java on my wife's system because there was a website my daughter was using that required Java.
Uh-huh.
I just fired up Synaptic, chose the Sun's JRE, and it installed fine.
No problems.
I didn't have to go down the command line.
Yeah. Really? Or you can use even Automatics. That does it, too.
I don't know what Automatics is. I don't know.
It's a script.
I don't know.
You just download the package, and it fires up this GUI, and you pick what you want, and off it goes.
There's all the dingies.
I don't know what I don't know nothing about Automatics.
Automatics.
All I know is it's getting hotter and hotter. This
it is hot.
I was going to say that, you know, like, here we are again sitting next to Dan's freaking
Dan's
radiator
farting in front of the radiator
here,
and it's heating
which is,
it up.
You know, which is doing the whole shh thing. Sounds like it's getting ready to lift off.
Dan,
you know what the problem was?
It just keeps
going,
man.
It was really cold in here, and then I turned up the thermostat. And, you know, you might want to go, just tell my, we'll go yell down to my wife, ask her to turn down the thermostat. And it was really cold, and now it's like blazing hot. Not in this room, but downstairs.
Is it?
I had to go put
it's,
more.
It's hot here too. It's plenty hot. Plenty. Speaking of plenty hot, where the frick is the slushies, man? What the hell? I come all the way here, making a guest appearance, so that I could smell Dan's stinky ass.
And no Slurpees, huh?
And I don't even have a Slurp.
You know what the problem is? We're broke. We are broke people.
I just sprung for the Slurpees. I will still spring for the Slurpees if you can get your wife to go.
Dan, could you put a little water on the rocks, please?
Water on the rocks? What's that mean?
Steam rooms? You haven't been in a steam room?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Water on the rocks. Yeah.
You know, I'm not into Budweiser, but right about now, I would take a Budweiser.
I got Diet Coke. And water.
Call your wife up here. I give her some money.
She's got to put the kids to bed.
Yeah.
Oh. Wah, 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 wah. Sorry, man.
Bless you.
Next time I'll go out before the show.
Excuse me again.
It is.
Screenshots of the studio they're bitching about.
Oh!
Speaking of the webcam, some of those pictures, man, that people submit, man, are really disturbing and disgusting.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, people are twisted, man. People away, you know?
That shit is sick. I'm not going to go into specifics, man. You know which ones they are.
No, could you tell me?
Yeah, the ones that Dan keeps uploading.
Yeah, the ones that Dan keeps putting up. The nude pictures of Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, well, you should have known better than that one.
I will never trust you again, Dan.
You never look at any links that Dan sends.
Dan, how come you can't post? Why don't you post cool pictures? Why do you got to post that stuff?
I did post cool pictures. When? What are you talking? Are you talking about the webcam? I didn't post all those pictures.
I know. Those are Link. Those are listener submissions.
It's what our listeners want. What our listeners are watching.
Ugh, it's disgusting. People are disturbed, man.
We got to call our guest.
It's not that time already. Damn.
Dum, dum, dum.
It's our...
Ring-a-ding-a-ding.
Is our guest local?
He's down near, he's down, I think, outside of Malvern down there.
Oh, so he doesn't live with Eric Raymond, does he?
He's probably not that far from him. Right down the road. He's the same area code as us.
Well, you know, Eric Raymond was just posting that whole sexual thing.
Did he?
Yeah. His little how to be a geek and have good sex thing.
Oh, wow.
Was that serious? I didn't read that. Was that really him?
Yeah, that was really him, man.
It's kind of disturbing. I mean, that's a place we don't want to go with Eric.
It was really disturbing, actually.
Not a place we want to go with, too.
Should I call him?
What the hell, man? We told him we talked to him. Let's talk to him. Ring-a-ding-a-ding-y. We're having 2 weeks of KDE guests. Back to back.
Woo, KDE. Woo.
You're in heaven.
Woo.
Now I'm in heaven,
man. Here we go again.
We're just gassing out that Link. Link is suffering here.
All right.
I've been good. Who are we speaking with? I haven't cut one once.
Zach Russin.
Zach. Notice I turned the volume off before I dialed.
Zach speaking. Hello.
Hey, Zach. What's going? It's Linux and Tech Show. It's Pat, Dan, and Link. How are you?
Yeah. What's up, guys?
Just to let you know, we are live right now.
Oh, sorry, guys. So what's up?
No reason to apologize. I just want to let you know, so in case you let something slip, like Pat's docs or something.
If you want to let loose and, you know, throw an occasional F-bomb, you're more than welcome to.
All right. First of all, actually, I wanted to mention something, because my understanding goes that every time you come on a talk show, you get a fruit basket, and quite frankly, I did not get one. I'm assuming it's in the mail.
We'll send Pat. That's all the fruit you need.
Dan's actually sending a special gift pack of massaging oils.
It's going to be with a check for all the open source work I've done, right?
Yeah, but see, we're also under the impression that our guests are supposed to send us some swag about their product and stuff like that, and I don't recall getting anything in the mail either.
Aaron sent some little dragons to you.
Yeah.
So how's it going, man?
No, it's not bad. It's not bad. I just got back from Belgium.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, it was great, actually. It was really good. That was the first time I attended FOSDEM ever. And it's very, very interesting. So that was good.
That's a big show, right?
Yeah. It's very different from all the other conferences, because there's so many talks going on at the same time. It's very, very different. And to some extent, that's really nice, because you get more exposure to different projects than you do on a normal conference. But to some extent, it's also a little bit worse in that there's no real program per se, right? Every group directs itself, and all the different organizations having different talks at the same time is kind of making it difficult to see what you really want to see.
Now, is that a real corporate kind of event or not?
No, it's absolutely free. They're accepting donations, which are really ridiculous. It's 100 euros for a T-shirt. But you can attend completely for free.
So what really jumped out at you there? Anything in particular?
Excuse me?
What jumped out there? Did you see anything that really, really stood out amongst anything else?
Well, I wonder mainly to see other ex-developers. And it was interesting, because it was right after the ex-developers conference that we had Westmont in Santa Clara. But FOSDEM has a little bit more different approach, because it's more a hack fest than real conference. And we wanted to meet to hack on input redirection and talk about XGL, and we did that. So that was the main focus as far as my work goes. I wanted to see other people, and I wanted to see what people think about XGL, and talk about different solutions that we have for the problems that XGL solves, because people don't realize how many problems there is with XGL and bringing it to the desktop right now. Pretty much everyone thinks the solution is there, right? We have a solution. Everyone can download and use it. The fact is that we really don't have it, and it takes a lot more than people realize to actually make it usable. And since KD4 is supposed to be out in about 10 months, right, we're supposed to be having betas probably during summer, we need something that works well, and is available sooner than what we can do with XGL. So we're trying to figure out how to bring that solution to the table before XGL. And that was actually, I had an unexpected talk because I was not planning to have one on FOSDEM. But I did one where I was trying to explain to people why XGL is not yet a solution. And it's interesting because I'm on this show to promote XGL, basically. And here I am saying that it's not ready yet. And that's an unfortunate fact because the problem with XGL, right, is that it's layered on top of X, meaning you need a running X server to run XGL. So it's not a real solution. We still have all the garbage and all the bad code that X brings with itself. We just add another layer on top of it. And that is never a good approach to fix a problem. We have many libraries and a lot of code, historic code that was developed in the 80s and late 90s by companies which no longer exist. And we add another layer on top of that code. That's not the way we can fix that. And this is not an approach to fix any problem. So we're trying to figure out how to do it. And basically what happened is that we decided for now a lot better approach to fix that problem is to abstract a lot of the code from X, including mode line setting, input handling. That stuff is being worked on. And for now, on Friday probably, I'm going to present another step, meaning we're going to have, instead of layering whole X server on top of OpenGL to accelerate basically XRender, because right now what happens is that toolkits use XRender to do most of its rendering. Well, GTK Plus with Cairo and Qt with Arthur layer most of the graphical operations on top of XRender. And we're building a whole X server on top of OpenGL just to accelerate that, which is an overkill. Ideally, we would like to have acceleration architecture that does the same, meaning accelerate core XRender and X11 primitives using OpenGL. And this is what I'm doing right now. This is going to be our intermediate solution between between abstracting the code that we need to get XEGL running, and between between now and then, this is the solution that we're going to have that is going to bring forward all the advantages of XEGL to the desktop before it's actually available, before XEGL is actually available. So that's basically what I'm working on right now, and I'm trying to explain to people.
So that's going to be ready when? Tomorrow? The next day?
yeah, actually, it's as much as a joke that might sound like. I was just talking to some of my friends from Free Desktop about being able to export a Git branch because we're moving, or at least we're trying to move towards a more suitable version and control system for the stuff we're doing with X11. And I was trying to figure out how to actually give people periodic snapshots of the work I'm doing, because I do have right now a version that is kind of working. It's not yet ready for widespread usage, but it's definitely ready for people to give it a try. Right now,
it's working.
Well, it's compiling. Let's put it that way. But it's not accelerating everything I want. So I wanted to release it on Friday, make the first beta release of it on Friday. But I would love to provide snapshots of it using Git. That would really work really well for me. And we're trying to figure out right now how to export new X server branches on Free Desktop using Git.
Cool.
So what you're basically saying is the work that you're trying to do is an uphill battle. And essentially what it sounds like is we either need to take X back to the drawing board and, you know, maybe start from scratch on that, or build something completely different to get the desired effect that we would like to have, correct?
Right. See, right. I mean, technically, we did start from scratch. XCGL is a start from scratch. The problem is it addresses only one particular problem, and that is how to have more suitable rendering model for applications and for the composition manager. It is very, very lean, and it's very, very small. Unfortunately, it tackles all those problems by removing all the stale code. So instead of having broken code that that fixes a particular problem, for example, multi-line setting in X has been a problem for a long, long time. We have kernel and X arguing over how to set up multi-lines. So we're trying to abstract that code, but XGL handles it by completely removing that code and just laying itself on top of existing X server. So it is a great solution in that it is very small, it is very lean. The problem with that solution is that it's not complete, and it's not going to be complete for a while. So we need to address the problems that XGL, the main problem that XGL is solving, which is graphics, while keeping in mind that there's still lots and lots more to do, including multi-line setting and input handling. And as those solutions are being worked on, we need something to fill the gap of that XGL was solving for users, meaning graphics, while keeping everything running. So, technically it is starting everything from scratch, right? Both input handling and multi-line setting libraries will have to be written basically from scratch.
And so this is going to end up being, it's going to end up being some really good lean code, right? Because the last thing we need is to add more thickness on top of X, which is biggest, fattest hog you've ever seen in your life.
Right, X is huge, and it takes quite a bit of knowledge to figure out how everything fits together. Hopefully, very soon when we're going to have the multi-line setting library, the input handling, and the graphics done, it's going to be a lot easier for people to start hacking on X. Right now, it's actually a lot better because we have the modular tree, which helps a lot. That helps a lot because you have a clear view of where everything is. But the problem is the X server itself is still very, very, very big, and there's a lot of code which just doesn't make any sense. We have hacks for graphics chips which you won't be able to get in any store anymore, and that's really, really sad if you think about it.
And speaking of graphics chips and everything, how hard is it to code this stuff when you have to contend with, you have Mesa, and you have NVIDIA's version of OpenGL, and, with just other graphics chipsets and their support for OpenGL.
Closed drivers,
Right. How difficult is it to work around all that?
Well, right now we're taking the easiest approach, meaning we don't support anything that's not open source. As far as the open source drivers themselves go, it's still very, very problematic because we have a couple of layers of drivers. The drivers themselves implement a couple of different exploration architectures. They have XAA, which is hopefully getting more and more deprecated, and people stop supporting it completely. We have EXAA, which is based on something from KDrive server that I introduced last May, I think. And we have DRI drivers themselves, which are exciting OpenGL. So you have three different exploration architectures, technically, that you implement in your own driver. We would like to leverage the need for three different architectures and go with one, which is DRI drivers and OpenGL. Right now, most drivers implement either two or three, meaning they either implement XAA or XAA, EXAA, and DRI drivers. So it's difficult. Writing drivers for X is not easy in itself, and having that extra code in there is really bad, especially given the fact that there's about six or seven people working on drivers as we have, and there's about 12 chips that we need to actively maintain. And yes, supporting commercial drivers with proprietary code is just not an option. That's something that companies themselves need to be doing, and that's something NVIDIA is doing really well, actually. That is why I refuse to say anything bad about NVIDIA. They support their drivers. Their drivers are really good. And as far as users go, that's all that matters. All that matters is that stuff is supposed to be working, and it's unfortunate that it can work out of the box, because there's a lot of licensing issues involved with commercial drivers right now, especially on Linux, right? But if they work, I won't say anything bad about them. It's just we will not support them by any means.
Now, I know that Novell has something going on, too, with accelerated X and stuff like that.
Right, it's Novell. It's I think you were talking about Red Hat.
Yeah, Fedora.
Is it Fedora? I thought it was
AIG.
Was I know it was AIG? SUSE. Was it? Yeah, it was SUSE.
Well, Novell's
and Novell.
Doing the OpenGL.
Right. Novell has XGL. Dave is working on XGL.
Yeah.
And Red Hat guys are working on accelerated indirect rendering.
Right. AIGLX.
Right. To some extent, they
and
do.
You're working on XEGL.
I am working on everything, actually. I'm mostly evaluating things right now, and I'm going back to the drawing board for things we need in KD4.
What I'm just trying to figure out is you know, which one of these projects is, like, misplaced, you know? Which one is and, you know, go ahead and give me your opinion on it. Which one do you think that people should be focusing on so that we're not duplicating work that we really don't need in order to get around this whole, you know, ass-old X server thing?
Wait, isn't there an Amandriva working on XGL2 or something?
I don't know. There's so many. That's the thing.
No, okay, here's the lowdown on what's going on. Ever since MESA was introduced, there were two main problems with that code that were supposed to be fixed soon, and they were not for a few years. They're actually being worked on right now. One of them is accelerated indirect rendering, and the second one is memory management. The first one refers to clients which are... direct rendering is basically when client overwrites, it doesn't go through X server, calls directly into libgl, and libgl interfaces with the drivers. That's direct rendering, and it came to be basically accelerated rendering on X as we know. That is what we know as accelerated rendering because that's all MESA supported. MESA never supported exclamation through X server, meaning GLX clients connecting to the server and doing OpenGL rendering while connected to the server. That never worked because the libgl core had no knowledge of what driver was supposed to be loaded by the server for the client, therefore was always using software fallbacks. Red Hat guys are working now on fixing that. They actually got it working, and hopefully this is going to be code that's going to be merged either this week or next week. It was outstanding problem of X, that remote client were never accelerated on X. And that's being fixed. The memory management problem in MESA is also very distinct. If you're playing game, any game actually, you're going to notice it very quickly because textures are going to start getting swapped out usually about half an hour into playing a game, maybe quicker actually. The only reason we're not noticing it is because of AGP chart, but that's a separate issue. As far as XGL goes, it doesn't really compete with what Red Hat guys are doing. We needed accelerated indirect rendering no matter what would happen. We just needed that code. It was essential for way more than just eye candy. And XGL is a wonderful research project. It showed us what we can achieve with the X server and what we can do in terms of graphics. What people don't realize is most of the effects that you see with running on top of XGL, it doesn't necessarily depend on XGL per se, because composition managers are the pieces of code that are actually doing all the eye candy and fancy effects. They're the pieces of code that are actually gluing XGL to the user interface and are showing everything you see on the screen. And the binding of composition manager to XGL is not really mandatory. You can run Compass, which is the composition manager that people see on running on XGL, can be made to run on top of accelerated indirect rendering. The reason you need accelerated indirect rendering for that to work right now is because one of the main extensions, which is the texture from PixMap extension, which basically tells the client, the server, that particular texture is bound to a PixMap created on the server, can only work in an accelerated indirect case, because otherwise you're telling a client, which is rendering directly through libgl, to take a memory block and use it as a texture, which obviously is not going to work because that memory block doesn't belong to it, but belongs to a CD root X server. So basically, what I'm, I guess, trying to say is that there is no competition. There are both distinctly different projects. XGL is a great research project, while accelerated indirect rendering provides a solution right now for all the problems that we're having. The only one that is not being solved between XGL and accelerated indirect rendering is that XGL solves the problem of accelerating client calls, meaning all the X operations, X rendering operations, are using OpenGL, so they're accelerated through OpenGL. On normal X server, they're not. Only Composition Manager is going to be using OpenGL, but clients will still render using all the X11 primitives, which are not accelerated usually. With the new X solution architecture that I'm working on, we're going to have that. So everything that XGL offers will be available in the normal X server right now, which is a great advantage. So right now, it's a lot better and a lot easier to finish the work on accelerated indirect rendering, create acceleration architecture that layers all the X rendering calls on top of OpenGL, and move from that, meaning start more actively working on the mode line setting library, start working on input handling. And actually, both of those projects are already underway. But until they're finished, XGL is not going to be a suitable replacement for any X server. Actually, when I'm saying, this is a clarification, when I'm referring to XGL, I mean XEGL, because like I mentioned in the beginning, XGL is not a solution because it's just another layer on top of stale and broken X code that we have right now. And until that part is fixed, XGL cannot exist. So there's still way more to do before we can move to XEGL.
I'm sorry, I missed all that. Can you go over that again?
That's a lot of work.
That food basket is going to be huge. It better be immense.
Hey, Zach, one of the people on the IRC were asking that, how will the code affect X, since there's a lot of legacy hardware dependent on smaller X, not a bigger one. So how will all these fancy, what are the minimum requirements for all these, fancy special effects?
Ideally, I don't want to change requirements from what they are right now. Basically, what I'm saying here is that if your driver supports direct rendering right now, meaning you have DRI driver for your card, you're set. There's nothing else you should install or add to it, which is really the basic need I'm trying to address here. I don't want people to start hacking on drivers like they had to for EXA. And that was really unfortunate, even though the code for the edX support for EXA is rather trivial. Up till now, we have basically one driver supporting it in a really stable manner, three more or less in a hackish way. And I released EXA about 7 months ago. With this new acceleration architecture, I'm trying to make sure that people don't have to be changing drivers. The reality of the fact is that we don't have many exposure to long-running OpenGL applications, and most of the ones we do are scientific software that uses pretty basic and primitive functionality. So most of our drivers is not yet stable, and that's the reality. That it's going to take us a while to stabilize the DRI code that is used in the drivers. And for example, XGL exposed a couple of really neat problems with page flipping and swapping buffers. Bit copies from front buffer to back buffer and back and forth. Those are the issues that are unfortunately showing up only as you actually get the code running, because it's hard to figure out what exactly do you need and what is broken unless you get applications using it. So until we're going to get it working and working well, it's hard to say what exactly do we need. But like I said, the basic fact is that I don't want to add any code. What you have right now in your computer should be way more than you need for basic desktop composition. And because one thing that is really nice about the Composition Manager in XGL, meaning Compass, is that it's plugin-based. So let's say you have really old hardware. You do have DRI driver, but your 3D hardware is rather simple. For example, you don't have fragment shaders. So let's say you have a plugin to make windows, I don't know, wobble and rotate and transform, do something fancy, I don't know, flash. And that's a plugin. You can just not load that plugin, and you're going to be fine, and you still get most of the basic effects. You're going to get transparency and transformation, your desktop on a cube. Those are all very simple effects that are available in any hardware that's been in stores for the last 5 years. So those are the effects that are the core. But everything else available as a plugin, You load the plugin. If your hardware supports it, great. If not, just unload it and don't use it.
And if your hardware didn't support it, is it smart enough not to load that stuff?
Right now, we don't have that logic. It's the same with the acceleration architectures. We don't have logic yet to figure out which acceleration architecture should be loaded. It's something I'll have to add. Basically, what I want to do is, on X-Server startup, we're going to issue a couple of calls that will try to figure out, do you have direct rendering acceleration? If you do, load Glucose, which is the new acceleration architecture I'm working on. If not, check if EXAA acceleration is available, load that. If it's not available, check for XAAA. Is it available? Yes, load it. If not, okay, you fall back to software rendering and you're pretty much screwed. Hopefully that's the case. That will never happen. But we don't have logic yet to figure out what exactly is supported, which operations are accelerated, and what exactly can composition managers and client depend on. It is a problem, but it's something that we'll tackle probably after the acceleration architecture is there and the accelerated and direct rendering is merged.
So there you have it, folks. You heard it here first. The new next generation X developers have no logic.
No, we have a lot of logic. There's a whole bunch of it. We're overflowing with it, actually. We have some of the greatest logic ever. Actually, I should look up some of the code we have here because the logic is just incredible.
So how, like, realistically, right? How far along are you on some of this stuff? You know, like is this a, no, but I mean, the people want to know if this is some kind of wicked pipe dream thing that's coming along, or if they can actually expect to have a good new a rendition of the X server coming along sometime in the realistically foreseeable future that tackles some of the issues that they want.
I want to solve this problem this week. Like this is the problem I want to have solved by the end of this week, and I want to have new acceleration architecture in the next release of X.org. So we're talking soon. We're talking next week. As soon as accelerated indirect rendering is merged in, I want to have Glucose in the X.Server CVS, and I want to have a solution available for at least next month, so that when I go to Brazil to talk about graphics and KEDE, I can show this and I can show it working stably and working well. XGL right now is a pipe dream because there's so much code that it depends on that is not yet finished. Mode line setting being the prominent problem here. So at this point, it's a solution that is great, but it's far, far off. The stuff I'm talking about, this is something that should be running next week. And that is the huge advantage of it.
Awesome.
Now, I got a question for you. We saw that video of you from last year from Malaga in Spain. You were running, I guess it was on your laptop, but was that an Apple laptop you were running it on?
Yes, I'm a big PowerPC fan.
Oh, you should talk to Dan. He's into Apple.
Yeah, given how much I've been complaining about Apple and their KHTML work, it's really ironic that I'm such a big PowerPC fan, but what can you do?
Well, Apple's not going to be PowerPC much longer.
It'll be nice and cheap now.
You got to go to IBM, I think, for that.
You got
to
get
a few other companies.
You can get some nice secondhand stuff on eBay pretty soon with the stuff released on Intel.
I'm really hoping because right now, for example, MacBooks, the Intel ones, are coming with X1600, the ATI chip, which we don't support at all, actually. Not even the binary drivers that ATI is releasing supports it. So if you're going to get a MacBook, you're not going to get it running, unless you're going to get it running with VESA, which is unfortunate. But that's the case. So I'm looking for those PowerBooks because they come with R300s, which are really nice chips, actually. And yeah, so if you get a chance to get a PowerBook, do it. It's going to be probably one of the best-running laptops as far as X goes right now.
So some of the stuff that's going on, going back and forth in our chat right now, one of the topics that has come up is, again, we're talking about these multiple technologies, and it sounds like ideally it would be great to get to a point where all this work that's being done kind of merges into a a single unified system.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really feasible in some respects with regards to those, like, for instance, NVIDIA, who puts out their own drivers. Will that be feasible? I mean, are they, in the future, do you see NVIDIA going away from being proprietary and some of the other vendors from being proprietary and, you know, supporting the open project so you guys can, you know, develop a lot easier?
To be honest, I don't see most of the graphics companies going away from the commercial model they have for drivers. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense from business perspective as far as they're concerned. So I don't think NVIDIA is going to go away from the commercial model. What they do and what they do really well is they can involve they're at least three of them is on the Xorg Devil list. They come to our conferences. And they're heavily involved in a lot of the developments we're actually working on. One of the first people who saw my XAA code was Andy Ritger from NVIDIA. He was one of the first people to actually give me feedback on that code base. So I just don't see them going away from the proprietary model for their drivers. There's a lot of code they have, apparently. I can't tell for sure because I haven't seen it. That they're using that doesn't belong to them, which is problem number one. And two, as far as hardware goes, ATA hardware is a little bit more superior than NVIDIA hardware is right now. What NVIDIA does and what NVIDIA does really, really well is write drivers. Their drivers are really incredible. They're a step away from being self-aware. I mean, if your computer just stops and ignores you and starts talking to you, that's probably NVIDIA drivers doing them. They're really incredible. So they have very little business in releasing the source code for them because they've been working really, really hard on those drivers, and they're exceptional. They're just exceptional. ATI would have probably more business in doing so, but because that's the way graphics industry works right now, we have commercial drivers for pretty much all hardware, and I don't see ATI going away from that. And like I said, NVIDIA's drivers are so superior to everything else right now, it just wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for them to do so. Which is another reason why XGL is a solution and is far, far off right now. And it's one of the reasons NVIDIA guys stepped up on the X Developers Conference in Santa Clara and were quite frankly against XCGL because their drivers, like I said, are working and are working well. So for them switching to a different X server, to a whole different architecture, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's a lot of work, especially given that their drivers just work.
Right. So then if you're looking, you know, if we were looking here to say, we got to go back and, you know, rewrite, ideally it would be rewrite of X, you think you get some, you know, complaints or hesitation from companies like NVIDIA and say, well, wait, you know, we got this all working with the technology available now, and you guys rewrite this, it's going to cause problems.
It largely depends which parts are we going to rip out and replace. They have a lot, their drivers don't depend in a whole lot of places on X. They basically bundle an X server with their drivers. So there's very little code that we can break that they would be actually using. Most specifically, X-Solution architectures, they have their own, and most of the code in their drivers is developed fully by them. So they replace pretty much everything in the X server once you load their driver. So I don't see many problems as far as replacing most of the code in X server, because their drivers are still going to be doing their own thing. As far as extracting mode line setting and input libraries, those are the things that mode line setting is something they do themselves anyway, so it won't be a problem at all. And of course, input handling is something they don't handle as well, so that should be fine. I'm more interested in what ATI is going to do because they actually use DRI, and with all the changes that are going right now, that's going to be more interesting. I think they're going to profit a lot more from the work we're doing on DRI and DRM right now than NVIDIA guys, because NVIDIA guys, like I said, doesn't use DRI or DRM for their drivers. So I'm sure they will complain, and we want them to complain because we want to know what independent software hardware vendors are using, which parts of all of that huge code base are still being used, which can be ripped out and which can't. And the only way we can figure it out is when people come to us and say, we're using that, don't remove it, don't change it because it's working well for us. So we're trying to actually make them complain, and NVIDIA has been doing that really well. Every time we break something in the X server, they're the first ones to come down and say it.
Zach, we have a question from the IRC. Someone was asking if you had a chance to check out the opengraphics.org card, which is supposed to have fully open schema and be fully supported by the open source drivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, I did, and it's a really nice project. Unfortunately, it's been started quite a while ago, and there's not a whole lot of results as of yet. I was the first to say I'm going to buy that card as soon as it's available. Right now, it's not, and it's looking like Intel, who's actually hired Keith Packard and Eric Anholt, is going to be right now the most the most viable solution for open source desktops. The cards they're releasing this summer that Keith Packard has been pimping to me on the Boston, which are really interesting cards. Apparently, they're going to support DirectX pipeline, meaning they're going to have fragment shaders, vertex shaders, and geometry shaders. That's something Keith told me. And Keith and Eric and the guys from Tungsten Graphics are supporting the drivers for Intel chips really, really well. Tungsten Graphics guys have been doing incredible work as far as the Intel graphics drivers go. Right now I don't see Open Graphics project as such a viable solution and needed solution anymore, because we have hardware vendors who are supporting us really well, Intel mainly. And that's the company I'm going to definitely support right now, because yeah, they support open source, and their graphics chip seems to be doing better and better every generation.
Go ahead, Pat. Sorry.
I was going to say, I recently did a Kubuntu install for somebody I work with on their laptop, an old Sony Vaio, and it installed the accelerated ATI drivers fine. I was pretty impressed, because ATI has the longest reputation of being very difficult to install and configure correctly, and it seems like they're slowly coming around.
Were you using the open source, or were you using the commercial drivers?
I don't even know, to be honest. I just fired it up, and off it went, and I opened up a game, and it had, you know, 3D acceleration.
Yeah, I think distributions are doing progressively better job at supporting most of the hardware that we have, which is nice. To be honest, I know the ATI drivers, at least the open source ones, and I know the code base is really bad. It's something we're complaining all the time on IRC when we're talking about ATI drivers. They're bad. Someone needs to come down and clean them up. But as long as they work, hey, great. Yeah, that's what they're supposed to be doing, and that's good.
When people start bringing up the open or the XGL projects and all the stuff and the transparency and the cube effects, a significant portion of commentators say, hey, why are we focusing on this? I mean, there's a lot more important things we can do than getting quote eye candy. What, in your opinion, what will these features, once implemented in the X, what benefits will we see from these features other than eye candy?
Right. The features that we're seeing right now, they're utterly useless. And there's no other way to describe them. What they give us is a view on the architecture and the things that are possible with it, meaning what we can do with that framework that makes the desktop experience more usable for just normal users. And right now, those effects, I sincerely hope that this is not what we're going to see, and I know this is not something KD4 is going to be doing. This is basically just a glimpse of the things that are possible. But as far as usability goes, those are not the things that you're going to see in KD4. We will develop our own plugins for the Composition Manager, and we're definitely going to make it behave and run differently than what you see currently on XGL. And I completely agree. Those things are useless. There's just no purpose to them besides showing them on conferences and making people go, wow. Because if you have them running on your laptop, you notice that it's completely unusable. There's nothing that they bring to the table. And with KD, what we're going to do is we're going to actually sit down. And Aaron had a couple of really good ideas. You guys should ask him about some of that stuff, because some of the stuff like user feedback, meaning if you move a mouse over a window, the window wobbles in the place where the mouse is a little bit, just to give you an indication of where your mouse is. There's lots and lots of things and effects that we can implement using this new framework, but those are not the things that you're seeing right now. The things that you're seeing right now are just demos, and that's all that they should be taken for. They're not usable. They're not there to be used for long periods of time. They're just demos that show what is possible with this new framework. But like I said, we need way more usability research into things that are actually usable. I mentioned that on the KDE conference during the summer. The difference between usable effects, which actually may improve usability and make user experience a lot better, and things that are just flat-out irritating, is very, very small. There's a finite amount of work that you can put into those things, and unfortunately, it's really, really difficult to get the timings, to get some of the transformations and colors right for everyone. If you look at the stuff Windows is doing right now, the animation on clicking on of the start menu when it animates and appears from the bottom, that is really irritating effect. It takes way too long for that menu to appear. And some of the things we do with the menus are also really, really bad. I was mentioning that on the KDE conference as well. One of the coolest things that we're noticing right now is that we get more and more people who are focusing on usability, coming to open source, doing usability studies and usability research that is directly affecting what we do on the desktop. And that is really nice.
Do you think that any of this work is going to benefit or encourage game developers? Just maybe port some games over? Or is that a lost cause?
That's a lost cause, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I would love to pimp something out here, but see, I think it's a chicken and egg problem. The game developers are not really seeing Linux as a viable solution right now because there's just not enough people using it, and there's not enough people using it mainly because right now there's just not enough games on it. I mean, let's face it, most of the consumers that we see for desktop computers are kids who are playing games regularly on a daily basis. And even though we have consoles, computers are still a vast segment of the market. And right now, we just don't have enough games on Linux. Part of it is the fact that we don't have a huge company pimping game-only API, which DirectX was basically meant to be, and now it's turning into something a lot more with Windows Vista. We have OpenGL and we have OpenAL, and that is not enough. And there's not enough support from game companies and not enough consumers to actually make it a viable solution right now. I'm not sure what would be a good way of approaching that problem. So right now we have to live what we got.
Now,
if it makes you feel better, I can write a game for you.
Hey, that'd be nice. We'll send that fruit basket then.
I'll do a Tetris clone. How's that?
It's a trade.
So now, GL, OpenGL.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that I have, and concerning games in particular, but you know, OpenGL in general, Microsoft is not going to support OpenGL 2.0, or they're not even going to ship Vista with OpenGL 2.0, and there's concern that, you know, they're going to start killing the OpenGL technology by not supporting the latest versions, and it's kind of discouraging. Now, Apple, of course, is pretty much right on in there with OpenGL, if I'm not mistaken. Do you foresee problems down the line because of Microsoft's lack of support?
I think there's going to be a little problem. For now, I think we're safe because both Apple and Linux and a lot of Unix systems depend on OpenGL, and there's too much code base that is running on all those operating systems to just dismiss OpenGL. Unfortunately, from Microsoft perspective, it absolutely makes sense to drop OpenGL support. It absolutely makes sense because they have their own API, which they do control in full. There's no company affecting DirectX as much as Microsoft is. They own that API. And supporting a third-party API on their operating system just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So for them, it makes absolute sense to drop OpenGL. It is unfortunate for us because we depend on OpenGL with everything we do. And right now, I don't see hardware vendors dropping support for OpenGL anytime soon. There's too much code that still depends on it, and we're going to see more code coming up with OpenGL support as we go along. And I'm sure Microsoft will have to add support for a version of OpenGL that is beyond 1.5. They're going to have to do it. Whether they will do it in the initial release of Windows Vista, I don't think so. And I'm certain they will implement it as a wrapper around their text code. Again, it's something that makes sense. For their platform, up till now, they were forcing hardware vendors to also provide three acceleration architectures. Independent hardware vendors were supposed to actually, four of them, independent hardware vendors were supposed to provide acceleration hooks for GDI Plus, which was their 2D acceleration architecture. They were supposed to provide hooks for OpenGL, and they were supposed to provide hooks for DirectX. And there was a small kernel module that was, it was actually one big binary blob, but there was also a kernel module which was dealing with syncing of buffers and DMA queues. So there were four parts to every driver. Now they reduced it to two. There's only kernel module and DirectX module, and GDI Plus is fully software now, and OpenGL is just implemented as a wrapper around the DirectX code. So for them, it makes natural sense to do that, to do what they did, meaning drop OpenGL support. Now they have floodless code that independent hardware vendors have to provide. Plus, they have complete control over the API that is used on their platform. So it's unfortunate, but the reality is that from a business perspective, it's something I would do as well. There's just nothing else to it.
That's thanks.
All right, so you told us that you use an Apple, a PowerBook, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
What are the kind of machines you have going on over there?
Actually, I have only PowerPCs here. I have a Quad G5, and I have a PowerBook. If you guys want to send me an i86,
are they running Linux at all? Are you running?
Oh yeah. I don't use proprietary operating systems. And I'm even disgusted that you asked that question. I'm a little bit insulted. And I think I died a little bit inside just there.
Well, yeah, you have to ask these things because people are weird. You know what I mean? You got to
know. He could be running BSD.
Yeah.
Listen, first of all, I am pretty, and I am the spokesman for open source software here, and there's no way I could be running closed operating systems on any of my computers.
All right. Well, I feel better now myself. So what distribution are you running on them?
I'm running Debian on all of my computers. The reason is it's not that I don't trust vendors. It's just that I really like Debian, and as crazy as it sounds, I prefer to spend a whole day setting up my machine and then that having the knowledge that it's going to be running for the next 6 years without me having to insert any new CDs or do anything special. And I like being able to upgrade my packages on a weekly basis, which is kind of silly because if you think about it, I am running my own kernel, I am running my own X server, I am running my KDE, and I work on Qt, so I recompile Qt. So basically the only thing I use distributions for is the GCC compiler and the libc. Everything else I compile from sources.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you using Debian proper?
No, I'm using unstable, always unstable.
Okay. But it's not like a derivative like Ubuntu or anything like that.
Oh, no. I actually tried Kubuntu, and that was a really good experience. I was pleasantly surprised. They're doing an incredible job. It's something I'm not sure if I can say, because SUSE has been supporting KDE for a while, but they're kind of
supporting that. Well, no, Ubuntu does some good stuff, you know, and they're one of the few distributions out there that actually do have some decent PPC support that I noticed. Much like yourself, I like the PPC architecture. PPC architecture is much, much better than x86 architecture. So,
I would love to get into the discussion with you which architecture is better, but I'm afraid I'm going to get on IRC in a few minutes. And So I'll just nod here, and that's all.
But I already know what your choice is because you just told me the only thing you run at your house is PPC.
So. Yes, but actually that's because I'm getting those for free, not because it's really my first choice anymore. I'm a little disappointed that Apple dropped the support because I'm afraid that right now IBM is the only company who's still influential and really well behind PPC.
Right.
So I'm a little disappointed, but. Well, we'll see.
Now, what's your impressions of running Linux on PPC architecture machines? Are you happy with the way it runs? Are you happy with the level of support? Are you really missing things that are not available, like flash support? And
you are asking the wrong guy because I implement everything I'm missing, including the flash support. I do have my own flash library that I did just for PowerPC. So I don't miss anything, absolutely anything. Everything I do miss is I sit down and I write it. And anything that doesn't work, I sit down and I fix it. So I am not your target audience here.
No, I'm but sure that's good because if you have your own flash library, like, you know, where the hell is it and where can I get it? You know what I mean?
Oh,
that's I want to know. Because flash does not work on my PPC, all right? I didn't write a flash library, so...
Well, what are you doing with your spare time?
You can share, man.
He's making fruit baskets.
You better start that fruit basket.
I tie the ribbons,
stop stalking KD guys and you know, start making fruit baskets. Brett, to be honest, I could release it, and I thought about it for a while. The thing is, I'm trying to figure out whether I want to put it along CUDE-SVG, which has been released in CUDE 4.1. Or whether I want to release it as a KDE library, that would be also something. So when I have those things squared out, I'm going to do something and probably release that code. It's enough for most of the flash sites out there. Actually, there's a GPL project right now called Gnash, which does the same thing, and that should work. Did you try that one out?
I've tried it out. It works pretty well. It's still got some way to go, particularly if you know my daughters want to go to Nick Jr. or something.
I tell you
like
what's disappointing about that project. That project is based on a code that was released in public domain, game SWF code, and that was available in public domain. The guys from Gnash took that code and GPL'd it, meaning the guys from game SWF cannot get any of the patches and apply it back to game SWF, which is a little disappointing. And considering this flash, the release of Gnash made a library that is fully based on the code that was made in public domain, and then everyone was saying what a big achievement it is for open source and Free Software Foundation. One of its main goals, right, was the development of a free Shockwave player, and now they have it. Well, yeah, they have it because they took code that was in public domain and relicensed it as GPL. Yeah, so I'm not saying that they're not doing great work. It's just a little bit disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's what you need for you to release your library, and then we're gonna have, you know, no disappointment anymore.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. Party.
Exactly.
Everyone gets laid.
Anything that you can release
Pat.
For Linux,
I'm married,
PPC,
man. I get laid plenty.
Yeah. And, yeah. Sure, he does. Yeah. Anything that you can release that makes the Linux PPC experience better is like a godsend. You know what I mean? Because it's a great platform. I just wish it had a little bit better Linux support. Not that the stuff that is out now is bad. It's just not enough, you know?
Yeah, it's a general problem, I think. Linux is really, really close in general, and most of the distributions are getting it better and better every single time I see new releases. But there are still things missing, and I don't know how to solve many of those problems. How to solve the fact that we don't have a really good CAD software, right? Because we're not going to develop one anytime soon. It took, what, like 10 years AutoCAD to get a decent version? How long is it going to take us to develop one unless we're going to get support from those software vendors directly? So, I don't know.
All it takes is cash. We need 20 more Mark Shuttleworths.
Oh, yeah. If you've got money, I'll freaking implement CAD software for you.
You need to write a good podcatching client.
What we need to what we need to do is write some software to predict the numbers so we can win the Powerball every month.
Oh, you know my address, right? You can send me money. I'll start on it right now.
And fruit baskets.
Yeah, how the hell did he get to how the hell did he get from sending him fruit baskets to sending money, you know?
I figured money right makes there. More sense. Yeah, I was about to say cookies, but then I was like, you know what, if they'll send me money, I can buy my own
that's
cookies.
A leap right there for someone who hasn't sent us any swag whatsoever. And, you know.
Hey, you know, we don't have to send him anything. He's close enough to us, he can just come up and get it.
Yeah, you can drive over here and get your own damn fruit basket, man.
No. Did you see my pictures? First of all, I'm pretty. In case you haven't seen TV lately, pretty people don't have to do shit. Like, you give us crap.
You might be pretty, but I'm damn good looking.
Zach, do you live around the corner from Eric Raymond?
Do I what?
Do you live around the corner from Eric Raymond?
Do I?
He's right.
Well, he hasn't called me lately, so I don't know.
He's real close to you.
Is he? Maybe. Yeah.
Well, you know, you keep saying.
Let's change the subject. How's that?
Yeah, but you keep saying how pretty you are, and he just released his own sex pack.
Sex.
Eric Raymond, you know, released his own sex pack, and I figured maybe since you were so pretty, you guys were getting off.
What do you think was
something.
His research subject?
Yeah, we're buddies. He pays us every day.
Did you grow up in PA? Did you grow up in PA? In Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Actually, on Brooklyn.
Oh, Brooklyn, okay.
Really? You got an interesting accent. I'm originally from Staten Island.
Yeah.
And I'm from upstate New York. Yeah.
I think I win. It's something I use for the ladies. No, I'm just kidding. I could try, though. Actually, I really wanted to have always an English accent. You guys should have someone with an English accent on the show.
We just do another show. It's called Lug Radio.
Actually, we had Jeremy Allison from Samba.
Right.
Yeah, that works.
He had a British accent. All the women were throwing their panties at us that episode.
Yeah, right.
The whole two women that listen to Linux podcast.
Our wives.
Right, our wives.
So what brought you from Brooklyn to Southeastern Central Pennsylvania?
What are you getting personal on me?
No, I'm just curious.
Well, you got it going on with Eric. We figure, you know, we can make a line or something.
Was it a job or, you know, just had to get out there to PA because it's
a place to be, yeah.
Now, basically, my dad lives here, so after I was done with school, I needed to move somewhere, right? And that seemed like a good place.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was not my first choice to say the least.
So it was the fantastically good looking Pennsylvania Dutch women we have and a love of Scrapple, right?
Scrapple.
You have fantastically good looking women? Actually, you have women in Pennsylvania?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I got Dan sitting right across from me.
Yeah, thanks.
And Alan's such a woman, he didn't even make it to the show tonight.
He's got the cramps.
Yeah, he's got cramps. We need to take donations for some My Doll.
Especially given all the money you're spending on those fruit baskets.
Right, exactly.
How'd you like Belgium?
You know what, it was great. There's one problem with this conference, and that is it's in the middle of a fucking winter. Like, it was ridiculously cold. And I love the city. The city was beautiful.
So how many beers did it take to warm you up?
How many what?
How many beers? You're in Belgium. You got to be drinking beer there,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Got him, man. Belgian ale is the best, man.
I bought a whole bunch of chocolates. Their chocolate is great. We should have some of that.
That too.
You know what I remember from Belgium when I was over there?
Beer.
All the prostitutes in the front windows.
Okay, I was close. I knew it's something fucked up, but I wasn't sure.
Where was this? Antwerp?
You walk down the street and it's like, wow, look at all those women in the window. What's that all about?
I Are you maybe thinking about Holland? Because that doesn't sound like the Belgium I saw. I'm not sure where the hell were you. But
no, I was. I'm talking about Belgium.
And they say in America you can buy anything, right?
Maybe I just
overseas and they have it flashing right in the window at you.
Yeah, maybe I was just in the wrong area of Belgium. But no, I was in. Yeah, that's where I was in Belgium, and there was.
Dan was a couple blocks off of the conference center.
I don't know where the conference.
You have to understand Dan though. Like Dan is one of these guys. That, like, there is two main roads to get between his house and my house, right? A highway. Two highways. Straight shot. Dan is one of those guys that will take every convoluted freaking back road that he can find and go 95 miles out of the way just so he doesn't have to ever touch a highway in order to get between two points. So I completely believe that he went to Belgium and somehow found a row of hookers in a window. It's not that far off, you know.
Didn't you guys say that? Just say that your wives are listening to the show.
Yeah,
just checking. You know, I'm not judging you. Bible says not to. I just.
No, I was in Belgium. It was about 15 years ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah, back when I was in high school. Not that I, you know, shelled out any cash for any of them Belgian prostitutes, because you know back then
they were giving away.
It was
free.
All about the liquor, man. You went over to Europe, you were drinking. You weren't worrying about prostitutes. You were drinking. But that's it.
This conversation went downhill fast.
I think it went uphill. The stuff people want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. There's a very, really thin line between being perverted and working on X.
Is it that bad, huh?
Oh my God! It's, you know, looking at that code is like sticking a fork in your eye at times.
Oh man!
So you're gonna be up at Linux World Expo in April?
I'm not sure. Actually, the organizers are not the kind of people I want to see. The fact that they were not giving away org booths this year is not something I want to support. So I'm not thinking about attending at all, and I don't think I will just because of that.
You got to bribe the right people.
Yeah, they gave us a .org booth.
Yeah, they had a limited amount, right. And they were giving it to the people with connections. And KDE will not have.
Well, shit, you got connections now, so come along and you know.
Well, that sucks. We're gonna go
we'll
there.
Throw
KDE's
your shirt
not
and
gonna
you
be
can
there.
Talk.
What's
yeah.
that gonna do?
I know.
What the hell?
I gotta go hang out with the Fedora people now.
Is Fedora going to have a booth? Actually,
yeah
they
do.
Will.
Yeah,
they
FreeBSD, Fedora, Ubuntu.
So why didn't they give KDE a booth?
Good question.
So you guys have connections. Answer a question for me.
Pat has connections.
Strategic alliances.
Pat ran out of fruit baskets.
Tell them we're really unhappy with what they're doing.
That's a bummer.
It sucks, man.
Yes, it does, and we are really disappointed.
Well, you guys are more than welcome to come by and hang out with us, man, anytime.
That doesn't make any sense. Why not KDE? I mean, I would just figure KDE is going to be there. They're like
yeah. So did we, and we did not get a booth, and I don't know why.
Wow.
We would like to know why.
Wow,
that makes absolutely
well,
no sense.
You know what? Maybe we'll find out when we get there and find out who the rest of the. .org booths have gone to. I know that when we got our little schedule thing, there was only like two or three people who were listed on there as actually
they've added more.
Being registered. But I think is the thing all filled up now? Do we know
who's around?
Who else going to be there?
Yeah, Fedora, FreeBSD, the free standards based people. You know the one that Ian Murdoch just joined. They'll be there. Free Software Foundation. Joomla, I think it is, the web portal people.
Got a .org booth?
Yeah.
It sounds like you could fit the .org booth in a six-pack. I mean, they only have like...
They're small, man. They're small.
Last
they
year
are,
it was like...
10 foot, right?
There was
10
like,
by 10.
By 10.
There was like rows of... Man. There's a couple rows of .org stuff.
Alan's going to have to sit on my lap, man.
So, I don't know what happened. I mean, it's very obvious, and it's common knowledge that KDE is the best-looking developers out there. And we're not on the show.
I don't know. I think Bashpot has the best looking developers out there.
I don't know, man. I don't look at guys.
No. It's common knowledge. We are best looking.
All right. You can take best looking as long as I can still hold on to damn good looking.
But what developers have the hottest women?
That's the question.
Well, no. It's which project does have women at all, and we do.
Dan,
we have great women. Hey, you're gonna have one next week.
Dan has that's the right. best nipples. I mean, he's got, you know.
Okay, that's why.
No. If you go to Google and you Google up nipple burn, man, it tells you, it takes you right to Dan. He is the king of nipple burn.
I lost that title to somebody else.
But you'll get it back if people keep going and clicking on your nipple burn link, Dan.
Those
running nipples.
So the big question, Zach, is VI or Emacs?
I use Emacs.
Really?
Yes, I do. I love Emacs.
How unfortunate for you.
Emacs. Seriously, don't make me come down there.
I thought you said you used Debian as your operating system.
Oh. I used to, actually. I used to boot up straight in my Emacs.
Well, you know, you should. I mean, I was using Emacs one day, but I figured I really needed to edit a text file, and I just couldn't get VI to compile under Emacs, so I switched to Linux. Switched to Linux and installed VI, and I've been good ever since.
Emacs is so much better than VI.
It depends what you're using it for, really.
Well, I'm doing development.
I do development under VI.
Yeah.
VI is good.
Oh, yeah, you do PHP development, right?
And I do PHP development.
No, it really doesn't matter what you're using. I prefer Emacs, but I do use VI from the command line from time to time. The reason I like Emacs is because I'm one of the weird people who really likes Lisp. And I have tons and tons of scripts which do make my daily work a lot easier.
Uh-huh.
From checking from common mistakes to header protection and expansion of stubs. And a whole bunch of stuff that makes it really difficult for me to switch to any other editor, because I would have to go through the process of setting it up and writing a whole bunch of scripts for it, which is the work I just don't have time for. So I use Emacs because that's what I have set up and that's what I'm comfortable with.
All right, so you're working on FixinX and you're a KDE developer. So my next question has to be, when are they going to lighten KDE up so that the average person can use it without puking?
KDE 4. And that was... Oh, you're trying to start a flame here, aren't you?
Link
that's what interviewers do.
Link is Mr. Light Desktop.
I want to impassion you to get your point across.
I like KDE. I use it.
Don't listen to Pat. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
So what are the things you don't like about KDE? Because that's easier to address than what the hell is it doing?
What I don't like about KDE, right, is, one, I don't like the way that they convolute the sound architecture underneath it.
Mm-hmm, that's going to be fixed.
That drives me absolutely up the wall. And it's not just KDE, to be fair, right? That's not KDE only. It's GNOME, too. GNOME does it, too. They have that, the little sound daemon crap underneath there that screws everything up and breaks all your sound and... You can't you can't fire it up and then start like XMMS without it, barfing on something there. That I really hate. The other thing I really hate is it feels very heavy. And I know that's because it's such a featureful thing, but it still is a very heavy feeling window manager. And being a Linux geek for so long, I'm used to Linux being very light and snappy as compared to like Windows or something like that, which also feels very heavy and cumbersome to me. And I kind of want to, I want to steer away from the heavy and cumbersome interfaces and keep things snappy and quick. And like KDE in general doesn't act snappy and quick. And in particular, if you're opening like the terminals up, that is not snappy or quick in any way, shape, or form. And like I said, there again, it's not just KDE. GNOME term does that too. It's a dog.
Right. Here's what
mine just opened in 2 seconds.
It takes you 2 seconds to open a terminal, Pat?
Yeah, look. Watch.
2 seconds.
Well, I'll show you later.
It doesn't even take me 1 second to open a terminal. I click the button and it's open. And I'm using XFCE. And that's what I would like to see in like KDE or GNOME. But, and everybody tells me that KDE is so much better, so, I'm giving you the opportunity to tell me that, of course, KDE is very much better, and it's going to be fixed in the near future. right?
Yeah, I mean, these are not problems that we're not noticing, and these are things that we're actively working on fixing. Actually, for KDE4 right now, we have a drop-dead gorgeous multimedia framework that is being worked on called Fonon, and it has pluggable backends, so you can use, if there's going to be a new great sound server that is going to be released next week, we'll be able to add support for it transparently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that we miss badly. And everyone knows that as far as sound support goes, Linux was not top of the line during the last few years. With KDE4, we're at least trying to address the features that people need on desktop systems.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the application startup times go, Qt4 already fixed a lot of the issues we had. A lot of the problem stems from the fact that we had tons and tons of static variables, which have to be initialized, of course, on the startup, and that was adding up. One of the biggest problems was font cache. Font config was the caching of fonts was suboptimal, and that's the work that the guys from SUSE have been doing lately. And actually, Lubos Lunak, one of the developers from SUSE, had this really nice blog entry, I think it was last month, about KDE Startup, when he showed that with the patches that he has, KDE is starting up faster than XFCE. And I think that's impressive, isn't it?
Now, I would like to see that. That would really, really impress me right there.
See? That's what we do for you guys.
That would, in addition to being good looking, right?
Well, that's something I do. That's one of my features. For KDE, we do different things.
Okay. All right. So all of this fancy new fast stuff is going to be in what release of KDE?
KDE 4.
Definitively.
Yes,
KDE 4.
I'm
when
sure.
KDE 4 hits my laptop, it will work faster than XFCE, right?
Yes, it will.
Hands down.
Yes. Quote me on that.
I'm going to quote you. Not only am I going to quote you on that, but when it hits my laptop, I'm going to bring you back on the show.
All
so
right.
We can have a discussion about it, whether it actually
yes,
happens
well,
or not.
Let's do that. It's one of my requirements.
Okay.
I want to have an incredibly fast and snappy-looking desktop environment.
Now, that
actually,
would be
it's,
really
it's,
great.
Here's something interesting. Do you think that OS X had drawing accelerated when it came out? Because everyone says it did because it looks so fast. The reality is it didn't. The rendering system in OS X when it came out was not accelerated at all. The reason it seems snappy is because they had a really nice composition manager running. So a lot of the quickness and the perceived quickness of all the applications is directly related to the stuff you see on the screen. If you see a gray area, right, stuff that is supposed to be refreshing,
mm-hmm.
as you're moving a window or doing something in the application, you think the rendering is slow, but it's actually a whole different problem. As far as X goes, X is probably the fastest 2D drawing system out there. The problem is people are not running composition managers because XRender hasn't been accelerated and that was simply unusable. But as soon as you're going to get composition managers running on all your desktops, the perceived speed of all the application on X is going to increase exponentially, which is very, very interesting.
Great.
Good stuff from KDE, man.
We're going to see.
See, I'm spreading the kind of knowledge you just can't find on the net.
That's right. That's right. That's why we have you on here, and that's why your fruit basket is on the way, right?
Is it really nice? It better be.
That's right. It better be.
We hope you like mangoes.
So ask me something else about KDE.
What's your favorite part of working in the KDE project?
Meeting people. It's not so much work. I'm a really social person, so whenever I get to meet KDE people in person, it's just wonderful. And as far as my work goes, I'm a horrible maintainer. Everyone knows that it's very widely regarded, and I'm one of the worst maintainers ever because I start a project, I get it halfway done, and I move on to something else. I like working on new stuff. So that's what I like doing. I like working on new projects. I like looking into new ideas, and I like bringing new ideas to the community. I don't like maintaining stuff, and it's bad, and I'm trying to work on it. I'm doing my best, but I really like to work on stuff that just hasn't been done before.
It's like documentation, man. Nobody wants to do it, but it's got to be done.
Yes, that's one of the things that is really lacking, because maintaining is boring, and maintaining is something you do when you're getting paid to do it. We don't have enough people getting paid to maintain code, and we have lots and lots of projects with serious maintenance problems, and it's all across open source world. It's not KD in particular, it's not GNOME in particular, it's not X, but we have that problem. We have way too few maintainers for all the code we have, because maintaining is boring, and no one wants to be doing it.
I'm with you, man.
I know, because you know all the problems. Like, you see the applications that you're using. You know, when you report a bug, it takes a while for people to even notice the report. If you're really lucky, you're going to get a report saying, you know, it's on our radar, but when we're going to implement it, no one knows.
Right.
With commercial software, you can get those deadlines. You can get an email saying, you know, this is something that we're going to definitely implement by next release. With open source, you can get that guarantee, which is one of the things that is really hard to explain to people when they're moving from commercial world to the open source world, because suddenly you're not anymore enforcing release, right? And your bug cannot stop release anymore. Your feature cannot stop release anymore. That is a big difference between commercial and open source software right now.
Any more questions, fellas? Going once, going twice. Zach, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. You're always welcome to come back to the show anytime.
Thank you very much. Where's the show, actually? Because you guys, yeah, like you mentioned, you live somewhere around here, right?
We're in the Lehigh Valley, Bethlehem, Easton.
Allentown.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you do live.
Gotta tell them Allentown, otherwise no one knows where the hell you're talking
about. Bethlehem is, man.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest places on the planet.
Everybody knows where, but you don't know where Bethlehem is.
We also got Nazareth, too. That's right up the road.
Makes it sound like we're in the Middle East, doesn't it, right?
Israel.
Yeah.
You know, we're over there by Bethlehem and Nazareth.
Yeah, so anytime you're in the Bethlehem area,
come on by.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, I was just contemplating coming down to see you guys, but I have too much work to do right now.
I might, if you guys have a KD developer workshop in Philadelphia area, I know Aaron was talking about that. I might have to come down for that.
That would be great. Yeah, do that.
We could do all that fun stuff.
Well, you're more than welcome to hang out if you want while we talk about other topics. It's up to you.
Not that we have a whole lot of other time anyway.
I'll be coming down just to make sure you guys don't say anything bad about KD or X in particular right now.
Oh, no, we're not like that, man. I'm honest. KD is my main desktop. I use it mostly.
As he's in front of a GNOME desktop.
He sits in front of GNOME, yeah.
Reason why I got GNOME on here is I wanted to see what GNOME is up to these days. I haven't used it since, like, 1999, I think, was the last time I tried it.
Okay, so do you have KDE installed on your laptop?
I have all the libraries that I need to run the KDE apps.
So that's a no, huh?
I think I'm going to be switching back to it. I'm going to be going back. I like it better, to be honest. The GNOME stuff is nice, you know. It's definitely improved since the last time I looked at it. But I still like KDE better. That's my preference.
I mean, one thing that I like to ask is what are the things that people think are missing, and what are the reasons people are not using KDE? Because it's really not about which desktop are you using. I don't really care that much. What I do care about is the features that we're missing and the things that would make people switch to KDE. Those are the informations that are a lot more useful to me, because the information, because, you know, saying that you're not using KDE or you are using KDE is in itself without too much value to me as a developer. What I'm looking for is the features that I can implement, things that I can do to make you go, wow, yeah, I really want to be using that desktop environment.
Speed.
Sound.
Hey, that's what I do.
Art Sir is horrible, man. That really needs to be fixed.
Art Sir does not need to be fixed. It needs to be thrown out.
Eliminated,
completely.
Yeah. It needs to be eliminated. The things that I like about KDE, I love Conqueror. I like Digicam. You know, I like the tight integration of all the different apps.
The only thing, and like I said, I use XFCE and Fluxbox a lot because I really like the lightweight window managers. The only comments that I've really heard that I could apply to KDE, other than my own personal experiences of it being too slow for me, is that people like the way the icon management works better under GNOME.
Mm.
What
do they do differently?
I really don't use them, so I couldn't tell you. But apparently you set the icons up a little bit differently. And go, somebody help me out here, will you? Don't let me flounder around. Pat, you have to set the icons up a little different in GNOME?
This is a good question, because
right
I don't use GNOME.
I like...
Yeah, I don't see...
KDE is far more customizable, it seems, and easier to navigate, to customize things than GNOME is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean,
it's easier to freaking change it around to what you like.
Having
to
go into GConf and do stuff, I find KDE is laid out a hell of a lot better with regards to system configurations. Although there was one configuration I was trying to set, and I can't remember what that was. That every time I'd have to go in, because my wife's running it, and I'd be like, I want to play around with this, and I can't remember what it was, but it was such a devil of a time finding it.
The other thing is, the newer versions of KDE let you do updates for your the backgrounds now that's built in.
Yeah, hot new stuff, yeah.
Yeah, well, GNOME, you got to go out and hunt, you know, the graphics files, you know, the PNGs and the JPEGs down yourself and point to them. You're laughing?
I'm laughing because I'm reading the IRC chat. And, you know, I'm floundering here with the icon thing. And like I said, it's something that I've heard people say before, that the icon, it's different configuring icons on both systems. I really don't know because I don't use either one of them mostly. But, and then I looked on the IRC, and one guy's saying, yeah, the KDE icons rock. And the next guy says there's no difference between the way the icons work on KDE and GNOME. And then the last guy says, I like the way the ones in GNOME work better. So, like, that doesn't help me out at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's whatever you prefer, you know. Everybody's different, you know.
It's just funny.
Everybody has their own opinion.
Open source desktop. Yeah, that's the beauty of open source desktops. You
right.
do have choices.
Yeah. Sure.
That's one of the reasons I don't like people saying you have to merge KDE and GNOME. No, choices are not bad, and it's not bad for the desktop that we have more than one choice here. Cooperation and competitions are can only do good to us, and we are cooperating on bringing open source to more people, and we are competing on making both desktops better. Because we want to be better. Both KDE and GNOME want to be better than all the other solutions that are out there. And neither of those is bad for open source. They're both really, really good.
Sure. That's one of the pluses of doing Linux, is that you have a lot of choice.
I get wind that businesses seem to prefer GNOME for its... so to speak, lack of extra features.
That's because the two really corporate distro, you know, Red Hat and Novell SUSE, which are more geared towards GNOME now.
Used to be KDE for
SUSE. Used
to
be, yeah.
Right.
But that's because, you know, the Zimian guys are GNOME guys, and they're in there, you know?
Yeah, I refuse to get into a discussion of desktops on distributions because... I'm not working for any, and two, it's just asking for a big flame war, which I don't want to cause.
That's what we thrive on, though.
The bottom line is, you have a choice. Try both, see what you like, and go with it.
Yeah, right.
try the light white ones too. Maybe that's more to your liking. You know.
That's exactly it.
We're gonna
do the best.
Try KDE and then try GNOME and then change it to XFCE so you can get some work done.
Right.
See, I think
as a KDE developer, all I can say is that we're going to do the best we can do to make it the best solution out there. Now, not on the open source desktop in general, the best solution you can get on any computer, on any operating system, and that's what we're going to strive to do. But if you prefer anything else, more power to you, especially if it's an open source solution.
See, my thing with KDE is for the longest time I never ran KDE, and I kind of stayed away from Qt applications, particularly because running like Window Maker, Fluxbox, and lighter desktop or window managers, whenever I fire up a KDE application, you get all this stuff coming up that is trying to launch different parts of
got to load all the libraries.
Yeah, libraries,
stuff, right?
And you get these weird funky messages in your terminal if you're launching from there. And so I just kind of stayed away from those for the longest time, And then when I tried KDE out a couple months ago, and I was like, hey, this is a pretty nice thing. I noticed that there's a lot of KDE projects that kind of mirror what other projects are on for other development platforms. Like, there's Sane and Xsane, which has a graphical. But then there's what is it, Kuka?
Yep, Kuka.
Which is KDE's front end to scanning.
Scanning. Yeah.
And there was used to be GThumb. Now there's DigiCam, which is I love DigiCam, and it seems to be a lot of different things. OpenOffice was one I used a lot, but you also have KOffice, which is coming along. Dia, Kivio, all sorts of KDE specific applications that are kind of have other counterparts, and it's nice to have a choice.
KML Evolution.
Right. The thing in here that people usually don't notice or maybe ignore is the fact that most of those KDE applications started before their counterparts. KOffice started before OpenOffice. KML was there before Evolution. And actually, KML is not so much in competition with Evolution as Contact is, because Contact is the full-fledged PIM solution, just as Evolution is. So it's more Contact versus Evolution than KML versus Evolution. But most of the time, KDE applications have been there before their counterparts. So saying that, KDE was creating those projects to compete with projects that were already there is not really true, because we were first. The KDE applications were usually started before all the other projects. It's just that, either they didn't get corporate backing, so the development stalled for a little bit, because it's open source, developers do tend to disappear to handle real-life problems that are appearing as they hack. So the spare time they had is usually gone for at least a few months, a year. So the development in many of those projects got sidetracked for a little bit, and then a solution that was backed by a commercial company came along and it started developing faster. The question is whether it makes sense to still support those solutions even though something else is out there. And I think yes, it does, because one thing that most of the KDE application has that none of the other solution presents is a clean code base. Because most of those applications that we have and most of the libraries that we have were always started as an open source project, meaning they were developed with love. And therefore, the consistency in code has been always a huge priority. You can see that in KHTML, right? KHTML was developed as a spare time project by pretty much three people initially. It was Lars, Dilk, and Andy, and then Harry added KJS library, and David joined. So there was very limited amount of people working on those libraries, but the code was so good that Apple picked it over Mozilla Codebase. And Mozilla Codebase was already out there, right? Netscape's released their sources, and Mozilla was thriving at the time. And Apple still picked us because the codebase was so much cleaner. And if you look at KDE applications and KDE libraries, you're going to notice the same thing. The codebase in those applications, even though the applications themselves may be lacking in features, is still way better than all the other solutions out there. So it makes sense to sustain the development, even just to have some competition instead of having just one solution.
Huh. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. Yep. What do you say?
All right, boys and girls.
Is it time to wrap up?
That brings us to, we have 2 minutes left.
Should I do some frapper shout-outs?
But that's, I think it's about shout-out time, and we're about spent.
Give me some crapper shout-outs.
Hold on, I got to wait to load up, man. Here goes the bandwidth.
Hey, you know what? We want to thank Zach again for coming on.
That's right. Yeah.
Thanks, man. Good. You're awesome.
You're a good guest to have on, and we really would like to, like I said, have you on in the future and check how things
are
going.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love to. Whenever you have any misconceptions, you want to clear it out, especially when it comes to KD and Hector, I would love to come on.
We got to have a KD versus Gnome fight.
Yeah, there we
fight,
go.
Fight standoff.
A pretty match.
You're going to need users for that, because as much as our users hate each other, developers love each other. Yeah. I love GNOME developers, and I've met so many of them, and every single one I've met has been just great. On the X Developers Conference last week, I've met Christian, who I've never met before, and Soren Simon from Mad Hat, and they're both amazing. I mean, I love them. So you're not going to see, and actually that was one of the conversations we had. We were discussing the fact that our users fight a lot, and every time we meet, it's always all love. So you're not going to get GNOME and KD developers to fight. You're more likely to get our users to fight. And whether that's unfortunate or not, I don't know. It probably is.
GNOME versus KDE Love Fest.
Yes, that would be good. Let's do that.
Somebody cue in the music from the Love Boat.
Shirtless Volleyball. Da,
na, 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 na. Ask me how I can remember that shit, right?
You watch it every week.
I think my sisters used to watch it.
All right. I'm going to start off some Frapper shout-outs.
All right. Shout them out.
We got Avatar Man, Chicago, Illinois. Robert Strandon from Outlook, Saskatchewan. Sci-Face from Fairfield, California. Nick Anderson from Lawrence, Kansas. Argo 76 from Lawton. Michigan or Missouri? I forget. Anyway, Ben Chavette, Lincoln, Nebraska. Tracky Man from Harrogate, England. Adam Killian from Dora, Alabama. Kedar from Maharashtra, India. Fabio from Ponta Delgado, Portugal. Liaisors. Carl Anderson from Portland, Oregon. Reed Kinnean from Bedford, Kentucky. Chatter from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hepper M from Truro, England. Excalibur from Svendborg, Denmark. Jason from Danville, Illinois. Matthew Gates from Morpeth, England. Daniel Abrams from Brookline, Massachusetts. Chad from Rialto, California. And James Texter from Edmond, Oklahoma.
All right, that's it then, eh?
That's it. Yeah, Canada was the first one you mentioned, eh?
Hey, we love Canadians, man. You guys rock.
Canadians, eh?
I'm going to play some music out of here.
All right, play it out of here.
When you were making it for young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.
And that was that.
Yeah. It's over.
You missed the tongue brush.
No, I had the tongue brush.
You had the tongue brush in there.
No, I don't know if Zach was... Zach, are you still on here?
Yeah, I'm here.
You missed the tongue brush. You'll have to listen to the OGG file.
The tongue brush.
It's in all
paint
of
your fine
all
ass with that tongue brush.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys see the
hate? Dan's like blaming farts on me. It's because he's like scooching back and forth in his chair, and he's like letting it out of the back of his pants, you know?
No, but
the ones that he's stored up in there all day.
Was not me.
That, well,